The scripture reading today is Psalm 19. Hear the word of the Lord. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's hear God's word again, this time from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at verse 1 and reading selected verses through verse 21. This is a passage which speaks to us about Jesus' knowledge and use of Scripture to defeat temptation and to set the path, to set the course for his life. The phrase, "it is written," is in the passive form, quite deliberately, and is part of ancient Jewish life, a way of speaking about God without actually using God's name. So "it is written" simply means God has written in Holy Scripture. So hear God's word, Luke chapter 4 and at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And the same pattern is going to be repeated two more times, so that in verse 8 we read, after a temptation, Jesus answered him, "It is written by God in Scripture, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him." And then at verse 12, Jesus answered him, "It is said by God in Scripture, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And then at verse 13, when the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. And then a couple of verses later at verse 16, we read this, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom." Weekly worship was Jesus' custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written by God, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, this scripture written hundreds of years ago is about me. This job description is my job description. My friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do pray that you would take the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts and make them acceptable in your sight, who alone is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So over the summer, we have been focusing in our sermons on God's message that comes to us through the book of Psalms, the book that is right at the center of the Bible, but in the middle as well of our Old Testament scripture, a book composed of 150 hymns and poems and prayers that come from the spiritual life and the faith of God's ancient people, Israel, a book that Jesus himself knew very well indeed. Over 40 times, Psalms are quoted in the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. And therefore, surely it seems like a good idea that we, as followers of Jesus, should know the parts of scripture that were in Jesus' mind that he used to develop his thoughts about God, that we should know these thoughts ourselves. Want to know Jesus' thoughts? What he thought about God, not only in the gospel accounts, but behind the scenes, as it were, read the book of Psalms. So we finish our short series this Sunday, only covering a smattering of the Psalms through the summer. But we do so, as you've just heard, by reading from the 19th Psalm, a psalm which tells us not only about the majesty of God as our Creator, but tells us too that this Creator God has the humility and the ability and the intention of keeping tiny creatures like us in mind, of communicating with people like you and me. Of course, we all know that one of the passions of astrophysicists and others these days is not only to explore space in general, but to discover whether or not there's actually someone else out there sending us signals, trying to communicate with us, to figure out whether we are alone in the universe or not. Well, if the psalmist were asked that question, of course, in Psalm 19, the answer would be absolutely clear and unequivocal. No, we are not alone in the universe. And yes, there is someone out there who is trying to communicate with us. The heavens, the created universe, are telling, communicating, speaking about the glory of God. The glory of God is like the overflow of God. So here's God's being, and the glory is the overflow of God, which spreads throughout everything that God has created. Day to day pours forth speech, God's speech, the King's speech, even without words. But of course, even in the silence of the universe, we all know that there really are words out there. I mean, there are words out there. The universe is actually filled with speech. There may be a vacuum and barely a sound wave, though some physicists think that there is some sound out there. But there are all kinds of other waves, aren't there, that are out there throughout the whole of the universe. Whether or not you can actually hear anything, if you have the right equipment, you certainly can. If you're tuned into the right frequency, you certainly can. If you're on the right channel, there is something to be heard coming from all the vast corners of the universe. Or to bring this down to earth, to what we are doing right here and now, worshiping most of us online at this very moment, we're sending out words across the globe to hundreds of people. Perhaps there are 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 folks who are watching right now and hearing right now. No matter where you are across the globe, from a solitary church in a solitary place, from a particular person, and there could be, there's a thought, there could be millions more who are hearing these words, because these words are going out into the universe right here and now. If only they had the right equipment and they were tuned in, as it were, to the right frequency. And this is no accident. This is no fluke that this is possible. Just as it's no accident or fluke that we are able to carry in our pockets a cell phone by which we can speak to anybody just about anywhere in the whole wide world just now without wires. I mean, it's truly incredible, isn't it? But it's no accident that we can do this, that we can communicate, that we in fact have a passion to communicate, and that within the universe there is the ability for us to harness things which are already there so that our voice can go out throughout the earth. This is true because of the nature of God. And it's true because the God of nature, the God of creation, made the world with a capability of communication built right into it on purpose. This fact is a profound fact which influences everything we do with science and technology. Some people may say, well, we can only do these things because of scientists and those who are experts in the field of technology. But it's really important to remember, when we do really want to give science and technology a lot of credit, that all that scientists and those involved in technology really do is to listen to the speech that is already there in the creation, unravel it, repackage it, and harness it for, in this case, communication. The 17th century astronomer Johannes Kepler truly spoke when he said this, that in science, we think God's thoughts after God. In science, we think God's thoughts after God. God has placed them there, and we listen and look and unravel what is there to understand and to harness. And in Psalm 19, we learn that one of God's thoughts is, in fact, God's passion to communicate and to speak. So God designs and makes the universe, filling it with all kinds of signals and activity, and all kinds of waves, whether it's sound waves or electromagnetic waves, that even people like us can harness so that we can, in fact, listen to and speak with each other and with God himself. And this is vital for our existence. It's vital for the way that we were made. So we've got the universe being made in a particular way, and then we've got you and me being made in a particular way, made in such a way that we have to stay in touch with others. We were made to live in relationship with others. We have the capability of communicating with others by speaking and listening to others, whether those others are human or divine. And in fact, when we cannot communicate, when we lose touch, when we find that we cannot tune in, well, life can get miserable pretty quickly. And some of us have experienced this in this time of COVID. I have an example from my past of when this really, really hit home to me, not in COVID times, but a number of years ago now, an experience of losing contact with someone I loved. And you've all had some kind of an experience like this, I know. At just the wrong moment, losing touch. It was my younger daughter. She was visiting a friend in Atlanta, Georgia. She was on Interstate 85 just outside Atlanta when her car died. Later, we would find out it was her battery, but we didn't know that at that moment. All we knew that she was on the highway and she had called us. She was calling us on her cell phone. Well, no sooner had she explained that she was on the side of the road and her car was dead than her cell phone battery died as well. And we were out of touch. We had no clue what was happening. We had no clue what was happening to her car, no clue what was happening to her, just no clue. And we had no clue where she was going or how to get in touch with anybody with whom she might, by some strange way of communication, get in touch with herself. We knew she was going to a friend called Barbara, but we didn't know Barbara's last name. Well, it finally occurred to us that we could get in touch with our son, who knew how to use Facebook in a way that we didn't know how to use Facebook. And he knew who Barbara was. Well, at least if he put Barbara in there, he could find out who Barbara was. And he did all of this stuff, but it took time. And those moments turned into hours. And the night went by until we finally got back in touch with our daughter. And everything was okay. You know, it's one of those moments of, oh, we're so glad you're okay. What's wrong? Oh, it's just the battery. But for us, it was a nightmare being out of touch, out of communication, not in relationship at that particular moment. The moments of silence were absolutely excruciating. We were made. We were made to stay in touch. We were made to communicate. We were made for relationship with one another and with God. And we need to hear not only the voices of others, their speech, but the voice of God and God's speech built into the very fabric of the universe. Psalm 19 teaches us that there really is a voice out there, even though at times I know that God seems to us so silent, there really is a voice out there that God, the Creator God, has a passion to communicate if we will but listen and tune in to the channels that God has given to us. I've already hinted, of course, more than a hint, really, at one of the channels that God uses to speak to us, the channel of creation, or we might say the nature channel. Listen again to Psalm 19 and the opening verses. The heavens, what God has created, are telling the glory of God, all about God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And then an example that the psalmist draws on. For example, in the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. In other words, day by day, simply watching the course of the sun, following its steady, repeated course, the psalmist learns about the day by day incredible, steadfast faithfulness of God. And most of us at some time, somewhere in creation, somewhere in nature, have heard God's voice speak to us just like that. In his book called Blue Like Jazz, Don Miller describes meeting and hearing God in creation after hiking through the Grand Canyon. He says he was in pain caused by the hike, not surprising really, at the end of the day. He was just lying there, tuned in, he says, to the universe that surrounded him. And he says this. He says, there's something quite beautiful about the Grand Canyon at night. There's something beautiful about a billion stars held steady by a God who knows what he is doing. They hang there like notes on a page of music, free from verse, silent mysteries, swirling, and this is the title of his book, swirling in the blue like jazz. And as I lay there, it occurred to me that God is up there somewhere. Of course, I'd always known he was, but this time I felt him. I realized it the way a person realizes that they are hungry or that they are thirsty. The knowledge of God seeped out of my brain and into my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Seeped out of my brain and into my heart. I imagined him looking down on this earth, half angry because his beloved mankind had cheated on him and committed spiritual adultery, and yet hopelessly in love with us, drunk with love for us, for the earth and for her people. So here we have God's speech flowing from creation itself. But that's not all. That's not the only channel or frequency that God uses in order to communicate with us, at least according to Psalm 19. In fact, when the psalm gets to verse 7, there is an abrupt shift. And if you look at the way that we printed Psalm 19 in the bulletin, you will see this. An abrupt shift, as if God is saying to you and me, so maybe you're not quite in tune with my voice that's coming to you from creation. Maybe that's not your thing to spend time in creation, though actually I counsel all of us caught in the city so often to spend more time in creation. But maybe that's not your thing, or you haven't heard my voice too clearly there. So let's try another channel, shall we? Another frequency. I've got another channel for you. So it's not just Facebook, but it's Twitter for some. It's not just Netflix for some, but it's Prime for others. God says, I'll give you not just the channel of creation, the nature channel, but the channel of Scripture as well. I'll give you a book in which I speak to you as well. And it's through the speech that comes to us from the book of Scripture, the channel of Scripture, that we learn more definitively than even in nature that the God somewhere out there is not just any kind of a God, not just an enormous being who is somewhere out there, not even just a God who loves to communicate, But what we discover from the channel of Scripture, the book of Scripture, is that this God is very much interested in you and me. The God of the universe, this should startle us every time we think of it. Interested in you and me, in the well-being of our lives, and in the course of our lives, the direction of our lives, the moral choices of our lives. Let me put it like this. Lots of people actually do believe in a God out there somewhere, even a God who can be in touch with us in some way. But whether or not that God is personal, as you and I are personal, loving and caring for you and me, interested in us, well, that's another thing. God could be out there, but does this God have an interest in our lives? Does this God, ooh, and now we're stepping into dangerous territory, does this God have the right to tell us what to do and how to live our lives, to define who we are and how we are supposed to live, to give to us our identity? Or would we rather do all of these things by ourselves and just have God sort of hanging around out there, but not too intimately involved in our lives? For many people, there is a God like that who's somewhere there, but we don't allow this God to mess up our lives that much. But this God of Psalm 19 wants to mess up our lives. So let me put it like this. One of the images of God which has been circulating for 43 years is very common today. And why should I say 43 years? Well, that's ever since the first Star Wars movie came out. And the God in Star Wars is called the Force, right? The Force. May the Force be with you. And while the Force in Star Wars is remarkably moral, a force for good in a universe which is a struggle between good and evil, and we have to choose sides in this universe, and I profoundly believe that that is in fact the case. For all that, for all that is good in this vision of God in Star Wars, the Force is merely force. Force is merely force, not personality, not relationship, not character in the story, but far more like a modern version of the ancient Greek philosophy of Stoicism. The Force is the rational power behind the scenes. But not personality, not personality. Whereas in Psalm 19, even though God is the Force, indeed God is the Force, the awesome Force revealed in the heavens which declare the glory of God, the God in Psalm 19 is the Force who is also personality, who comes down to our level to speak to us where we are, vitally interested in giving to us the best life possible. Once again, how can this be? The God of the universe interested in you and me to give us the best life possible, personal, intimate, relational, and speaking. Communicating, longing for us to be on the same wavelength so that we can tune in. So in verses 1 through 6, we have God speaking from up in the universe across the planet. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The skies proclaim his handiwork. And then this great contrast in verse 7. Out of the blue, we move from the heavens down to earth. And the law of the Lord, this is the contrasting verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The Hebrew word for law here is the word Torah. Torah does not just mean rules and regulations, laws and commandments, though that's included. It means teaching in general, all kinds of teaching within the book of Scripture, stories, histories, poems, just like Psalm 19, as well as the rules and the commandments for living life according to the Maker's instructions. And this law, this scripture, says Psalm 19 at verse 7, is perfect. Perfect for what? Perfect for what? Well, not perfect as a textbook for engineers or for doctors or geologists, though all of them can be informed by that word that we hear in the Torah, the law of God, and not perfect for our choosing what we have to choose in the months ahead, who we are to vote for. Of course, there's some political stuff in the Bible, but there's no partisan politics in the Bible. There's advice on all kinds of things in life, though principles that inform our choices. And as Christians, actually, we're going to end up with different responses to what we find. Our God is a great God who speaks to us sometimes in the same way and sometimes in different ways. So the Bible is not perfect for everything out there, but it is perfect for what God intends for it to do. It is absolutely perfect for what God intends for it to do, for communicating what God wants us to know, God's passion for our lives, God's passion for communities and for society, God's passion that we make the right choices for our lives as individuals and for the well-being of life as a whole. Listen to verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, says the psalmist, in that it revives the soul. You need some reviving right now? Read the book. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Need to be smarter and wiser? Well, we all do. Read the book. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In the midst of all this COVID stuff, have you begun to lose your joy? Find it again in the book. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. Stuck in whatever direction that you're going, lost your sense of vision? Tune in to the book. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Oh, for some, this is a time of great fear and perhaps even of terror. You want to find the right fear, as poet John Donne said, the right fear in your life that puts all other fears into perspective? It's the fear of the Lord that we need. It's not a fear which makes us cringe. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Need a right path, a new direction for your life to follow in a world in which it's awfully hard to know where to go? You'll find it in the book. In this book are words from God that are more to be desired than gold and sweeter, says the psalmist, than honey. In this book are words from God that warn God's servants when we are about to take the wrong direction. In this book are words from God that help us detect our errors, maintain our integrity, and give us power to control our thoughts and our own speech. Isn't that what you need? It's what I need. We all do. Even Jesus needed this. Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed this. He knew not only the Psalms, but he knew this book of Scripture back to front and upside down. When he's in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, he doesn't have a book with him. It's in his head and in his heart. And he uses it to fight off the evil one. And when he does read the Scripture, when he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, as was his custom, so that he was reading it on a regular basis, he finds within the book the call of God on his life, as you and I can find within this very same book. My friends, God doesn't want to be out of touch with you for a solitary moment. The God revealed to us in Psalm 19 is a God who is passionate about communicating and staying in touch with us. Every moment, he has built the universe to make that kind of communication possible and has channels by which he wants to speak to us in nature and in Scripture. And if you want the best life for your life, the very best life for your life, what Jesus calls abundant life, if that is what you want, and surely we all do, then you do not want to be out of touch with this God yourselves, even for a moment either. God is speaking. God is speaking. And the only question is whether or not we are tuned in or tuned out. Tune in. Tune in. Let's pray. Holy God, amaze us again with this sense of your interest in our lives and that you would speak to us, the knowledge that you would speak to us and give us ears and hearts and minds and hands and feet to listen and obey and follow and find in your path that path which we all seek earnestly, which is the best path for our lives. Hear this, our prayer. Listen to us even as we pray that you would help us to listen to you. Amen.